Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 6. In verse 9, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. You're an awesome God. You're a faithful God. I ask you, Lord, to anoint your servant to speak your word with boldness. God, that it would be your words, not mine. I ask you to anoint your people tonight, that we can hear your word, we can apply it to our lives, and we can leave here more like you than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Do not give up. Have you ever had a dream of what you would like to do during your life? You ever have a plan or a dream when you were a kid? I want to grow up and I want to do that job. Or I want to grow up and I want to be like that guy or that lady. You ever have a job you'd like to hold or a place you'd like to visit or a car you'd like to buy, Brother Rick? You may have a vision of what God has for you and what he wants for your life. He may have shown you something that he wants to, a place he wants to use you in. He may have shown you a little glimpse of his plan for your future. Has he ever revealed that in your life? Or you see a plan that God's shown you and you're just not sure, I don't know how I can get from here to the plan that God's shown me. Do you have a promise from God that you've been clinging to? Are you trusting God for salvation for a loved one, or clinging to a promise that God's going to provide for you financially or emotionally or for your health? Whenever we try to live in the will of God, the enemy comes after us. Have you experienced that? Am I the only one? You guys got to preach with me a little bit tonight. I know most of my normal cheering section, they're down in Tennessee, so you all have to step up your game a little bit, okay? This is hard when you're up here and everybody just stares at you. I'm going to go down there and join you guys. The enemy's always going to come after you. He's always going to try to steal your calling and take your promise right out of your grasp. God's word is full of promises. God's promised to provide for us, promised to care for us, promised to never leave us, never forsake us. He's promised us eternal salvation. But every one of those promises comes with an if. And the enemy can't take your promise from you unless he gets you on that if. And when the enemy tries to come after you, he knows he's no match for God's promise. But he thinks he might have a shot at getting you and cutting you off at the if. He's going to try to steal your calling and your promise by trying to take your joy. He's going to try to take your peace. And he's going to try to take you out of the body of Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And Jesus says that "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." God says, "I've come to give you promises," but the enemy's coming trying to take that promise out of your hands. The enemy knows that he doesn't have a promise from God anymore. He's rejected that. He's thrown that away. But he figures, maybe I can get a little something out of taking their promise away from them. I was talking with Brother Brett before music practice. We're talking about Browns are so close. They almost won this game. They tied. But hey, we didn't lose. Yeah, but we tied. Nobody's excited about a tie. But I was like, but hey, Brett, we didn't win. That tie may not have helped us, but it might keep Pittsburgh out of the playoffs. He goes, you know what? That's a good point. I feel a little bit better now. But that's how the enemy looks at us. He says, you know what? I can't win, but maybe I can squeak out a tie. Maybe I can take that young man or that young lady that God loves, and I can keep them out of heaven too. He said, I can try to take away their joy and take away their peace. He says, I can't have any of my own. If I can steal it from them, it'll make me feel a little bit better. What he's trying to do is he's trying to take away hope from you that God paid the ultimate price to give away to you. God says, I'm going to give you hope for free. It's not going to cost you anything. All you have to do is don't let them take it from you. And God said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to give you hope. I'm going to do whatever it takes to give you joy, whatever it takes to give you peace. And he said, to do that, I'll lay down my life. All that's required of you to get that is not to let him take it from you. God's saying, it's already yours. Just keep it. Just hang on to it. What are some of the weapons that the enemy attacks you with? Does he come after you with fear? Do you look at your future with hope, or do you look at your future with fear? Do you fear the presence of God because the enemy has made you question whether or not God loves you anymore? Does he attack you with anxiety? Has he stolen your peace and replaced it with anxiety about your job, your kids, your future? Do you lay awake at night trying to figure everything out and make it happen on your own? Is the enemy attacking you with loneliness? Do you feel cut off and isolated from everyone? Have you bought into the enemy's lies that no one understands where I'm at? No one else understands what I'm going through. And even if they did, nobody cares. Why would they care about me? Loneliness is now considered the next great public health hazard, according to U.S. News and World Report, rivaling obesity and diabetes as the most dangerous threats to our health. The reason that is because you weren't made to fight your fight alone. God didn't make you to be able. You wonder, why can't I do this on my own? Because you weren't made to. You were made to need me. I was made to need you. We were made to need him. You're not made to fight your battles by yourself. Brother Rob read this morning the scripture talking about two are better than one, because they can help each other out. They can lend a hand. You need help, and you need someone there to remind you to not give up. When you're by yourself, you can rationalize why giving up is okay, why giving up is actually a win. But you need someone there to remind you, no, don't give up. You got a God that's more powerful than that. You got a God who's promised you something better than that. You got a God who loves you more than you love yourself. Don't give up. Do not give up. And Jesus does know what you're going through. Even if the person that you're sitting next to doesn't know what you're going through, Jesus knows what you're going through. The enemy's playbook is not new. It's old, it's beat up, it's used up, the pages are falling out, because he keeps going back to it. Why? Because when people pull away from God, that playbook works every time. But Jesus said, I've got something better for you than that. Look in this passage right here, how God takes out fear, anxiety, and loneliness in one verse. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. And be not dismayed. Don't fear. You don't have to be lonely because I'm with you. Don't get anxious. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God said, I've seen this attack by the enemy before. It's not new. It's not something that nobody else has faced. Everybody goes through some version of this. But you know what? I will strengthen you. I will get you through it. I will take you through it. I will uphold you. And why does he say that? Why does God say, I'll do this for you? He says that because you can't do it for yourself. He didn't say, hey, don't worry, you're strong enough to get through this. Go on, you go get it, girl. He didn't say that. He said, you're going to lose if you fight this battle on your own. But you don't have to, because I'm with you. I will help you. Luke chapter 15 says, and he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, Give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. So he went out and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed his swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he felt compassion for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him and said, And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you and never neglected a command of yours. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came and he was devoured your wealth and with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said, 'Son, you have always been with me and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found.'" Sometimes we feel like our promise is the prodigal son. We feel like, you know what, that I know God told me one time that he would take care of me. I know he told me he loved me. I know he told me he'd be there. I even felt that before. I felt his love before. I felt that. I felt like God, like I was happy with me before, but I haven't felt that in a long time. And when someone tries to remind you of the promise that God has for you, sometimes we react like the older brother. And we get angry and say, "No, this isn't for me anymore. I've come to grips with the fact that I can't have that promise anymore. Stop trying to remind me that I can have something that I can't have." Sometimes we get upset. Because it's hard. It's hard to lose something, but you finally come to grips. Then to be given hope that you think won't happen. You be given false hope, we get angry. We push that away, say, "God, I know I can't have that. Why don't you just give me the little bit that I've come to expect? Why don't you just give me the little bit that I've accepted? I've resigned myself to the fact that I can't have that anymore." And his father called him over and he said, "No." He said, "Look, he's come back. We thought he was dead. You thought your promise was dead. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's still alive. You lost it for a minute, but it's found." And we say, no, God, this promise of yours, it's not for me anymore. I've gone through too much. In fact, I used to be doing better walking with God than I am now. I'm on the downward spiral, God. It's not mine anymore. And God turned it right back around. The older son said, "This brother of you, this son of yours." And the father said, No. "This brother of yours." We try to say, "God, that promise of yours, I can't have it anymore." He says, No. "This promise of yours, I gave it to you already. I'm not taking it back. I've given you a promise, and I'll hold my end of the bargain up. And you know what? I'll even help you hold your end up. All you have to do is come back to the Father's house. Quit trying to run away. Quit trying to push your promise away. Because God said, it's yours. The dream that you gave up hope on, do not give up. This promise is yours. Amen. Let's stand. Matthew 19 says, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. God's calling us to persevere through the struggle you're going through. Persevere through it. Make it through. Take his hand. Let him help you through what you're going through. Let him help you through to get on the other side to your promise. To do that, you need to know God is faithful. He'll never leave you. The only way you're getting away from God is if you do the leaving. Peter's question came because God told the young prince that, hey, you know what? I do have a promise for you. But you're going to have to give some things up to make room for this promise in your life. We cannot think that God's going to just make his promise to fit into what we want for our lives. No, no, I told you earlier, the promises come with an if. If you want the promise, you make room for it in your life. Don't tell God how to make your promise. But he went on to tell Peter, I know this sounded like a big deal when I told that young man to sell everything. What God was telling that prince is, you need to sell off everything in your life that's keeping you from me. What he's saying is, you sell out to me. You become mine, and I will bless you. And he told Peter, anything that you give up, anything, I will more than reward you. I will reward you so much more than you could ever dream of giving up. Just give up the stuff that's keeping you out of my presence. Give up the stuff that's keeping you from being more like me. We need to help each other through this. The closer you grow to God, the more the enemy attacks you. Also, the more stuff you've got to get rid of, not because God says, I don't want you having a good time, but you've got to get the stuff out of your life. You've got to drop the stuff that's making it easier for the enemy to attack you. The Bible tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us stand and fight the enemy. The Bible tells us when you're faced with temptation, when the enemy is coming after you, what's the Bible say we are supposed to do? Flee. God says, don't worry about the fight. I'll take care of the fight. You just get out of here. But if you're carrying so much baggage that it's slowing you down to a walk, you're not going to get away from the enemy. God's saying, drop that stuff. Lighten your load. Let me do the carrying. Let me do the fighting. God is preparing a blessing. God is preparing a blessing for you and a blessing for me and also a blessing for his church. That blessing is going to involve souls that are coming in and saying, hey, I want to know more about Jesus. I'm tired of carrying a load. And It's going to require a church with people that say, you know what? Let me show you how God's helped me, because I've been where you're at before. We're going to have to be able to carry other people's burdens. We're going to have to be able to help other people out. And you can't do that if you're carrying so much on your own back. If you're carrying so much of your own baggage, you don't have a free hand to help somebody. God's saying, leave that at the altar. Accept my promise. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7 says, but you be strong. Do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. God says, your promise available if. And if you'll take me up on that if you'll leave behind the stuff that pulls you away from me, the stuff that slows you down, I'll give you back a lighter load. I'll give you back a more rewarding load. Not just in heaven. I'll bless you here. Scripture says that God knows the desires of your heart, and he'll give it to you. But God says, you've got to make room in your life for me. I want to invite you to this altar to lay some things down and say, God, I want to be more like you. I want your promise. You promised me something, God, and I'm going to claim it. And I want to invite you here to say, God, make me more like you. Help me, God, to have me strong, not to give up. Give me your strength, Lord. Give me your encouragement. Amen. This altar is open. God, I want to be more like you tonight. I need your presence in my life. I need your love. God, I'm claiming your promise. I'm not giving up, God. I want more of you, Jesus.